Good evening and welcome to the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church in New York City, committed to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in an atmosphere of love. We seek to glorify God by leading people to salvation in Christ and encouraging believers towards spiritual growth by relating the Bible to their daily lives. Please stay with us for the next 60 minutes as Pastor Matthew Recker opens the Word of God so you could be encouraged to follow in the heritage of faith.
And we welcome you tonight to our Heritage of Faith program. And, this evening I feel very different, quite frankly, from normal Sundays. As just about an hour or so ago, I heard news that one of the dear and faithful men of our church has gone to be with the Lord, and his name. And I want to just give God thanks for him, and also let our church family know, because this man was a member of our church, but more than that, he was a member of our family. And Brother James Abia Musa is in the presence of Jesus Christ. And he got sick. He was in the Woodhull Hospital and he did not get better. And we tried to find out about his condition. The past few days I called the hospital. They said he wasn't there, but they didn't tell me that he had passed. And we met James in our church about 7 years ago. We met him on a Saturday morning homeless outreach. He was here from Ghana, has been a miner in Ghana, in Africa, and there was a lot of corruption in that system, and he was going to expose it. And there were people who wanted to kill him and to hurt him, so he fled the country and came here. And he could have, it seemed, maybe sought for an asylum, but he just left and came here with nothing. And we saw him, met him at Penn Station, and he was saved through our church. And then we discipled him and baptized him, and he became a very faithful man in our church. He never had much in the things of this life, but he had much in Christ. He had much in Christ, and our church was like a family to him, and he was a brother to us. He stayed in the shelter system, and one time he was staying in a hotel not far from where I live, so my wife and I picked him up for church on a number of Sundays in a row, and always had sweet fellowship with Brother James. And, you know, my text tonight is going to be in Acts 18:10, and really I could fit the Word of God in, because there is a scripture, one of my most favorite of all scriptures, in it is in Acts 18 and verse 10, where God told Paul, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And this is why we're here in this city. This is why we do the radio. This is why we did that homeless outreach that Saturday morning, because God has much people in this city. And the people that God has, when he works and brings salvation to them, are so precious in his sight. So, but James helped clean our office clean, you know, and he would cook. He would go there early in the morning. He would go there like maybe, I don't know, five or six in the morning, and he would cook his African food. And I would get there, and, you know, you could smell it when you get off the elevator sometime, you know. You could smell that Ghana cuisine that he would cook with all the spices from Africa. And he would clean our office, and it was our office space there in Midtown. It was kind of like his little home, his little refuge. And James was a faithful Bible student. He faithfully came to our church every Sunday. You would never know that he lived in a homeless shelter. He always was impeccably dressed in a suit and tie, right? Always joyful, always at peace. He was the most gentle of men that you could find. Very gentle soul, a godly, meek, holy man of God. He was pure in Christ, wasn't he? And, well, he's with the Lord. So Praise God. And I want to go to our dear brother, Vinny. Thanks for calling, Vinny. And you're on. And you met him that first Saturday out there on the homeless outreach. So thanks for calling. You want to share a little bit about James?
Yes, I do. I might get a little emotional here, so. excuse me. Yeah, could you hear me? All right. Yes, that homeless day was an amazing day when I met James. I came across him with the sisters that we were out there, you know, just reaching out to the homeless and just so blessed by touching hearts and letting people know and understand, you know, that this isn't the end, that God has a big place for them. And it was just a wonderful time, you know, and we met James, and it was just a mind-blowing situation that here was such an intelligent man, a man that he was a scholar in his is amazing.
Yeah,
that he,
yeah.
I believe he
was an engineer, and he knew multiple languages too. He knew Chinese.
At least four or five. Yes, and he also actually he was at another church. He used to do that. I think it was. I forgot the name of the church, but anyway, he used to do the Chinese service, and because he spoke in Chinese, and it was amazing that he put so much out there. And my heart broke with James because we had taken him under our wing and helped him in so many ways. And my heart broke was that he put so many applications out there to work and really do so much, you know, in life and this and that. And he was turned down so many times. And I would tell him over and over, James, you know, God has a big purpose for you. We don't know what it is. That a lot of times we want things to happen right now, but they don't happen when we want them. God has the plan. We don't. And I know even in Heritage, we've done things to try to set him up in situations. And you know, he would enjoy it, laugh, and this and that, whatever. But we did love him so much. And we all of us even would help him during the week and take them places. You know, my heartbreak, too, another heartbreak was that, you know, I have a country home in the mountains, and I told him so many times, I said, James, we got to go up there. We got to see that place. It is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And they would not release him from the shelter.
Yeah.
They would not let him go. He would lose his bed if he had gone. You know, so it hurts. It hurts, you know. But the Word does tell us that we're absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Amen.
And we know the heart of this man. We know where he is right now, you know. And, you know, it is a sad time for us, but we can also rejoice because the system that he was in was not a good system. The shelters are not good. I've been involved with them. I've been around them so many times. And even today, I was at the shelter looking and trying to find out what the situation was with him. And just the whole thing was, he had to live through that for 7 years. You know, and it's funny that I actually got him set up with the shelter in Bellevue Hospital. And he stayed with it all that time, you know.
And, yeah, and he never complained. He never complained.
The man just kept keeping on, you know. He put his hands to the plow and moved forward, you know.
Thanks, well, you know, it says in Revelation, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them to fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Amen.
And so
on.
Well, thank you, brother. Thank you for being there always for James, Vinny, and thank you. I know you have such a heart for people generally. You have a heart, you know, to tell people of Jesus, but you have a heart for homeless people, and God used you that day. You just were there, and he was there, and it was a meeting made in heaven, you know, and it was a divine appointment.
And
we'll never forget our dear brother James.
Yeah, never.
Yeah.
Okay. God bless, Pastor.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Vinny. God bless you. And I hope this is okay for you listeners because, you know, we're a church and I'm a pastor and Brother James was one of our faithful members. And we just found out my emotions are very raw right now. I'm going to take one more call. Oh, this isn't Suresh, though, huh? And I was hoping one of our deacons would call as well, who was very close to James. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to a song, and I just want to dedicate this song to our brother James, as well as to all of us in the city here who are going through fear, because that's what I want to preach on tonight, the focus that conquers fear. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 18, and I trust that this message would be a challenge to us, because all of us experience and know what fear is. Paul knew what it was. Paul was even afraid in Corinth. He told them, he said when he wrote to the Corinthians, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And fear is the most common of all emotions. So tonight I want us to see from Acts 18 the focus that conquers our fears. But first, let me play a beautiful song, Be Not Afraid, because God is with us and we do not have to fear, for the Lord is our strength. If you want to call tonight at 1-800-345-9622.
For I have redeemed you, be not afraid, I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not sweep o'er you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. You are mine, you are precious in my sight.
Great message to that song. And Brother Suresh is one of our deacons, and Suresh also called. We're going to take this one last call, and then I'm going to get into my message. But we did want to kind of give honor to our brother James Abiyamusa, who went to be with the Lord. And he had no family here in America. We were his family. We were his brothers and sisters, his like blood brothers and sisters, even though we are of different ethnicity, different nationality. In Christ, we are family. And I know James has a mother in Ghana. He has a sister in London, and we pray we'll be able to get in touch with them. But one of the dear brothers who really cared for James is Deacon Suresh. So Deacon Suresh, thank you for calling. You're on the Heritage of Faith.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
I'm okay, brother.
Well, you know, I'm deeply saddened by our passing of our brother, but I'm glad in spirit because I know he's with the Lord and we will see him one day.
Amen.
He was always a humble person. And I was looking up a scripture verse just to match that. It is found in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer to every man." And that was Brother James. He was very humble. He was a very humble person. He had a humble spirit, and he always smiling. He always prompt in the class. He always had a scripture verse. He had a good question to ask, and then when we give him time to speak, he always give us a good answer.
Yeah. You know, and let the listeners know, Suresh, you lead our Adult Bible Fellowship, and I take part in that class. And James,
yes,
was like your assistant, and
he would
always keep you on point too, right? Like he would make you start at the right verse, and then wherever we finished one Sunday, he made sure we started there the next Sunday, right?
That's right.
And he was a very diligent a Bible student. He really was, you know, and I'm just going to remember James from the last chapter we studied together in our ABF when we studied Hebrews chapter 13 was the last chapter. He didn't finish it with us, but that chapter says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And it is almost like God brought an angel into our midst in Brother James, you know, and it was a blessing to have him. And now we just have to remember, now we'll just have him in our memory, our hearts, you know. But thank God that we had the joy of his presence, you know.
Amen. Because, you know, the book of, you know, in Corinthians, it says the last breath here is the first breath with our Savior in heaven. And he is with the Lord. I know that.
Yes, amen. Well, he is with the Lord. Well, thank you, Suresh.
Amen.
Thank you for being so supportive of James and helpful to him in many ways, brother. God bless you for your labor of love. Thank you. Okay, so we commit our brother to the Lord. And I'm going to go to one more song, and then we're going to go to our message on the focus that conquers fear from Acts chapter 18. And this is also a song of comfort by the gentle waters. And you feel free to give us a call. If you're struggling with fear, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-345-9622. We could pray with you. Kerry and Esther are here tonight. Beautiful sisters in Christ. 1-800-345-9622. Call us now.
Thank you.
Christ will be one day safely home. I want to speak to you tonight from Acts 18. Paul in Corinth, says the word of God. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. God tells him not to be afraid because he was. And here's the threefold focus that God gives to Paul, the focus that conquers fear. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Fear is a foe that keeps us from serving God. What is the fear that is afflicting you today? Fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of danger, the fear of the unknown? These are all common fears that those who desire to serve the Lord will face. Fear keeps us silent when we ought to speak. Fear leads us backward when we should go forward. Fear tempts us to shrink when we should stand firm. Fear can get between us and the will of God for our life. Many people allow the fear of peer pressure to keep them from serving God. Some allow the fear of parental pressure to keep them back from serving the Lord. Some allow the fear of financial pressure to keep them back from going forward for God. Have you ever been afraid? I have, many times in my life. I was afraid when my mother said to me one day, she suggested, Matthew, maybe one day you'd like to be a preacher. That scared me to death. I thought, whoa, no way. And I ran from that thought. It was a fearful thought. I was afraid one night, I was sleeping, and my wife heard me up, and she heard noises. And at first, I just thought it was the mice, because we did have a few of them scurrying around. Can you believe this is on Flatbush Avenue? And finally, I got up, and I turned the light on, and our television was in the middle of the floor of our living room. And I know not even a New York City rat could move the TV there. And I was afraid. I was afraid when I walked around the corner of our church. This is when I was in Brooklyn, and I heard a lady, she's screaming over to the side. And then I saw a guy running my way, putting a pocketbook up his shirt. And I know this guy was not, you know, he was not a cross-dresser or anything, you know. He had stolen the pocketbook from the lady, and he was running my way. And then he says, I have a gun. I was like, whoa, you know, that was fearful. I was afraid when there was drug dealing going on outside our church, like when I was in Queens, and there was a little candy store next to our church that sold drugs. And the mother of that candy store was wanted by the police for assaulting a police officer. And making a long story short, the police were looking for him. And the police and they were looking for him in this candy store, and they had the impression that I ratted out this guy to the police because the police were looking for him, and there was like a SWAT unit of police right outside the church. There had been a helicopter, police helicopter overhead. They were like had bulletproof vests and, you know, shotguns. They were looking for this guy. And when I walked out of the church that day, they said, you better watch it because snitches get stitches. That's what they told me. And it was like about 20 or 25 drug, like the drug dealers. And then, you know, because the police gathered, you know, since all the police activity there, it brought a lot of attention. And they were warning me. So, I mean, you can get afraid in this life. What do you do? General Patton said, all men are afraid in the battle. It's the coward who lets his fear overcome his sense of duty. Paul was afraid in Corinth. He tells us that, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And Paul's not embarrassed or ashamed to admit that he struggled with fear. And now here he is in Corinth. So what's going on? What's happening in Corinth? As Paul is preaching, it says that the Jews opposed the message that he was sharing. In verse 6, it says they opposed themselves. really, they weren't opposing Paul as much as they were opposing themselves. You know, when a person rejects the message of the Word of God, they're really not rejecting us. They're rejecting God, and they're rejecting the very truth that will deliver them. And they're opposing themselves. And they blasphemed. So Paul shook out his raiment and says, I'm clean. From henceforth, I will go to the Gentiles. But now watch what happens. Paul says, okay, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And so he left. And there was a man named Justus who worshipped God. Maybe he was a Gentile. And guess where he lived? Where did Justus live? Right next to the synagogue. That's what it says. His house joined hard to the synagogue. So Paul went to this. Now, he had just told the Jewish people, I'm going to the Gentiles. He shook out his raiment, right? But now God leads Paul to a man named Justus's house who lived right next to the synagogue. And guess what happens? The chief ruler of the synagogue gets saved. Crispus, Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So Paul, the Jews have blasphemed. Paul says, I'm going to the Gentiles. But God was like in love going after his people. And the chief ruler of the synagogue becomes saved. So now Paul probably thinks, oh, no, the chief ruler is saved. So the other Jewish people are going to be so mad at me now. They're going to want to hurt me. So maybe that's why Paul's afraid, because now he feels that the persecution is going to really come. Now, you have to remember that Paul is in the city of Corinth. What kind of a city was Corinth in Paul's day? It was a commercial center. It was a cosmopolitan center. It was a center of corruption and sin. Here's one of the best descriptions I've come across about Corinth. A city of pandemonium. At night, its streets were hideous with the brawls and lewd songs of drunken revelry. In the daytime, its markets and squares swarmed with Jewish peddlers, foreign traders, sailors, soldiers, athletes in training, boxers, wrestlers, charioteers, racing men, betting men, slaves, idlers, parasites of every description, a veritable pandemonium. It was a pandemonium of sexual perversion, immorality, and drunkenness. To Corinthianize, in Paul's day, meant to engage in prostitution. Corinth was like the Gomorrah of Paul's day. And now here he was in this commercial, cosmopolitan, corrupt center, a growing metropolis, a large urban center of Paul's day. And God says to Paul, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. So that's a message for all of us today in our city. Don't be afraid. God has brought us here to serve him. Don't be afraid. But speak. Don't be afraid to speak. And then he says, hold not your peace. Don't be afraid to share the word with those around you. Now, fear is a normal part of urban ministry. But here's the focus that we need to conquer fear. He says, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. So very simply, here's the threefold focus. We need to focus on God's presence. I am with thee. We need to focus on God's protection. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. God is present with us. God will protect us. And I have much people in this city. We need to focus on God's people. And I love what G. Campbell Morgan says. I think G. Campbell Morgan said those little words, much people, are the burning words of Acts chapter 18. So let me ask you tonight, our phone lines are open and Kerry and Sister Esther are here and they're here to encourage you, to pray with you. Maybe you're struggling with fear of the future, fear of the unknown, maybe fear in physical problems, maybe fear of loneliness, maybe fear with financial trials and difficulty. If we can pray with you about that, you call us right now at 1-800-345-9622 and put your heart on the Lord. For God has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. what man shall do unto me. Isaiah said, fear thou not. God spoke through Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So if you're struggling with fears today, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-345-9622. Get to us right now. So here's what God tells Paul. For I am with thee. That's a wonderful promise, is it not? I believe all of us can grab hold of this promise and say, this promise is for me. God has promised his presence. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, the presence of God is the foundation for fearless living. The very first thing God tells Paul when he is afraid is, I am with thee. Why? Because knowing God is with us, that is the very foundation of fearless living. I remember when I was a little kid, my grandparents lived in Yonkers. And sometimes we would go there for holidays. And for special, you know, like July 4th or, you know, Easter, you know, that kind of thing. We had a beautiful family. So sometimes they had a cellar. And in the basement, you know, maybe there was some soda they had to bring up. So they would say, Matthew, go downstairs to the basement and bring up some soda or something from the freezer down there. But they had told me that when they had bought the house, or my father told me that somebody hung himself down there. So I didn't want to go down there by myself. You know, it was like a dungeony kind of a cellar. It wasn't furnished. It was dark. It was scary for a little kid. So when they say to me, go down there, I was not going down there alone. No way. I was not going there alone. So I would get my brother to go with me. And so even though we were both little kids, it's always good to have somebody with you. See, knowing you're not alone is a foundation for fearless living. And we need to know most of all that God is with us. And how do we experience his presence? How do we experience that presence? I believe we experience his presence by his word, through his word. For he says to Paul, for I am with thee. So how does Paul experience the presence of God? By the very word of God. By his promises. Fear not. These are the words that God spoke to Abraham when he doubted and did not, he began to be overcome with doubt that God was going to bless him with a son. He even said at one point, let Ishmael live before thee. And God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And what did God tell to Isaac when the people of the land, the Canaanites, kept stealing his wells? God told Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee. See, what I'm saying tonight is that the presence of God is the foundation of fearless living, and the presence of God is experienced by his word. How did Joshua feel when Moses was now dead and Joshua had to now lead the people farther than Moses ever did? Joshua was afraid. So God tells Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, dear friends, know that wherever you go and every step you take, the Lord is with you, and he takes every step with you. And if you are his child, his spirit dwells in you to give you strength and to give you peace and to fill you with power. And God is with you through Jesus Christ, when you truly have believed on Christ, when you have been born into His family, and His Holy Spirit takes up residence in your spirit. And you don't have to be afraid. I told you earlier that I was afraid when my mother suggested to me, Matthew, maybe one day you'd like to be a preacher. And that scared the daylights out of me. But after I was saved and I realized that Jesus was with me, the thought of preaching, it still scares me to this day, in that I will do it as unto the Lord and be faithful to do it for Him. But I know that He's with me, and I do not have to be afraid, for the Lord is with us. Because the presence of God causes us to know that we are not alone and we are not our own. The Lord is with us, and He has promised, just as He promised Jehoshaphat when the enemies surrounded him and he did not know what to do, but Jehoshaphat the king put his eyes on God, and the Lord told him, "Fear not, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." So I don't know what you're going through tonight or this evening, dear friends, but I say to you, through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit in me, don't be afraid. Jesus Christ is with you. Maybe you're like our dear brother James, who was living in a shelter, in the New York City shelter system. But he was not afraid. He was trusting God, and he trusted God all the way to the end. Thank God. So we can boldly say this, even this moment as I speak these words, "The Lord is my helper." Go ahead, speak it out loud. "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And so the presence of God is the foundation for fearless living. The presence of God is experienced by His Word, and the presence of God causes us to know we're not alone and we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. The second focus, not only do we focus on God's presence, but we focus on God's protection. And the Lord very simply tells Paul that while he is in Corinth, no man shall sit on thee to hurt thee. And that word "hurt" is actually a pretty strong word. That's the same word that was used for James being killed in Acts chapter 12. Remember when James, the brother of John, it says that Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. That word "vex" is the same word "hurt" in Acts chapter 18. And so when Herod stretched forth his hands to hurt certain of the church, he killed some of them and he put others in prison. So the Lord is telling Paul, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. You see, this was an hour of success for Paul. Many people were believing. Many people were being baptized. By the way, look at this passage in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. It says, "Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized." Now, Kerry, Esther, let me ask you a question. Look at that verse. In Acts chapter 18, verse 8, it says, "Many of the Corinthians hearing believed." So before someone can believe, what must they do? They must hear. And that's exactly what Paul wrote in Romans, right? It says, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" But hearing, they believed. So tonight you're hearing. If you haven't believed, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Believe that His blood was shed for you. Believe that He rose again. Call upon the name of the Lord that you can be saved. Now, once those hearing believed, what was the next step they took? What was the next step? What does it say? Acts chapter 18, verse 8. What does it say? So what's the order? They heard, they believed, and they were baptized. So who gets baptized? Those who believe. That's it. So babies were not getting baptized in Corinth, and nowhere in the Bible, dear friend. And I will believe the Bible every day over any writings of any man. So they believed. So you know what happens? Now people are going to come against Paul. The hour of success brings opposition. And so look, as you read the story, you know what? Here's what happens. It says that the Jewish people drag Paul before the judgment seat of Gallio. The Jewish people are smelling for his blood. The Jewish people think they're going to get Paul beat up before the Roman judge, before the Roman leader. Here, let me just read the passage. Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 12. It says, "And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, and said, 'This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law.' And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, 'If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it.'" So this was Gallio, the deputy, the ruler, saying, "Look to it yourselves. I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. So they bring Paul, the Jewish people bring Paul before Gallio and think they're going to be able to persuade Gallio to have Paul beaten up and thrown in jail. But what did Paul promise? What did God promise Paul in Corinth? No one would set a hand on him to hurt him. So when they think they're going to get Paul beaten up, Gallio says, "I don't care about your religious arguments. Settle it yourself." That's basically what he was saying. This is your squabble. There's nothing, he's not breaking any laws of Rome here. And guess what happens? All the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. Don't you think that's what they wanted to see happen to Paul? But guess who gets beaten up? What's his name? Sosthenes. What's his position? The chief ruler. He must have taken over from Crispus. He knew Crispus, and now Crispus had become a believer in Christ. So Sosthenes was really mad at Paul for converting the ruler of the synagogue, and other Jews were going to believe as well. And so they were thinking, we got to stop Paul from preaching Christ. So Sosthenes has Paul brought before Gallio to have Paul beaten up, but God promised Paul protection. And nobody laid a hand on Paul in Corinth. Now, he was beaten up in other places. He was whipped and thrown in prison in Philippi. He was stoned and left for dead on his first missionary journey. I forget the name of that city there, but it's in Acts chapter 14. But now God promises Paul, nobody's going to lay a hand on you in Corinth. Don't you think Paul says, I think I'll stay here for a while, you know? Nobody's going to beat me up. Nobody's going to throw me in jail. Nobody's going to stone me. I think I can enjoy this city. But notice one last thing about this passage. What was the chief ruler who got beat up instead of Paul? Sosthenes. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul's writing to the church. Remember, now where's Paul in Acts 18? Corinth. And Sosthenes was the chief ruler of the synagogue who got beat up before Gallio. Look what, when Paul writes to the Corinthians, who writes with Paul to the Corinthians? The very first verse. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and who? Sosthenes, our brother. Guess what Sosthenes said? You know what? God's on Paul's side. I want to believe in Jesus just like Paul, just like Crispus. He's the second ruler of the synagogue who was saved in Corinth. Sosthenes becomes saved as well. So you know what? Sometimes when it looks like things are moving against us, God is working everything out for good. So I said earlier, you know, I was afraid when my wife, she kept trying to wake me up one night. She heard noises. And I said, no, it's just the mice. Go back to sleep. So finally I woke up. I said, I'm not going to get any sleep here, you know, unless they check this out. So I get up and our television is in the middle of the room. And I said, not even a New York City rat could move a television there, you know. So, and I ran out, and you know what happened? We lived on Flatbush Avenue, and it was a, it was a flat roof. It was a just a it wasn't like a pitched roof. It was a storefront, just a flat roof, and there was a ladder going right up to the roof. He had come down into our apartment and was stealing stuff and was going up and down the ladder with stuff. And now he was running away. So by the time I ran out into the room, he was up going up the ladder. I just saw his leg. And I said, get out of here. And he ran, and I wasn't going to chase him, you know. I had my kids were small in the apartment. I was just glad that, and actually, when the morning time came, there was a trail of stuff that he had dropped when he was running across the roof. And one of the things he dropped was like a fan cover, you know, like one of those little oscillating fans that sits on your on a dresser or something. And for some reason, he had taken, you know, like sometimes you can unclip part of that oscillating fan. He had unclipped part of it, maybe to carry stuff. But that part of the fan was on the roof. And guess where the fan was? In my kid's bedroom. In other words, he had been in my children's bedroom when they were just like 3 and 2 years old. That scared me to death, you know, that there was a thief in my kid's room. And thank God he didn't hurt us, you know. But we don't have to be afraid. The Lord is with us. But, you know, every time I heard a little sound, I was like, oh, it makes you jumpy, you know, when that, something like that happens. But God is with us. We don't have to be afraid. The last thing about this passage, the focus that conquers fear, and, you know, maybe you've been victimized by a crime, and maybe you're afraid. Maybe you've been abused, and you're afraid in life. I understand that. We understand that. And we would just like to even have an opportunity to pray with you tonight. Maybe your home has been broken into, and you're afraid. And maybe there's just things going on in your spirit right now, and you would just like to reach out and have someone to pray with you and to encourage you that you're not alone. We're your friends, and we want to show you that love of Christ tonight. We're here. We're here live. Kerry is here, and Esther. So call us at 1-800-345-9622. Right now, call us. We're here to touch your life, to pray with you, to show you Jesus' love for you at 1-800-345-9622. I know that if you're feeling lonely, discouraged, distressed, afraid, that the Holy Spirit can encourage you tonight. But maybe what you just need to do is reach out, pick that phone up, and take that first step. And we would, like I say, we would be privileged for you to give us a call at 1-800-345-9622. So here's the focus that conquers fear. We need to focus on God's presence. We need to focus on God's protection. And we need to focus on God's people. Here are the burning words of this chapter. For I have much people in this city. God is promising Paul, I have much people in this city. There's fruit to be had in Corinth. So we need to stay and stand and preach the word of God. We need to focus on the people that God has. Sometimes we just focus on our own dilemmas, our own problems. We need to focus on God's presence, God's protection, God's people. I believe three things about this little phrase. I have much people in the city. This motivates us to persistence. It guarantees to us fruit. It demonstrates to us grace. Much people should motivate us to be persistent. Don't quit. Do not be afraid. Speak. Do not hold your peace. That's what God told Paul. I have much people in the city. Now, much doesn't mean all. Not all will be saved. But much means much. Now, sometimes it seems that drugs and drunkenness have much people. Sometimes it seems that clubs and crack or ecstasy have much people. Sometimes it seems that the things of this world captivates souls, and that much people are drawn to a life of sin. But God here says, I have much people in this city. God has people that he will draw to himself, that he will captivate by his love. Much people. This should motivate us to persistence. Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. So much people motivates us to persistence. Much people guarantees to us fruit. Much people in Corinth, this city that was a pandemonium of perversion, this city that was known to Corinthianize meant to engage in prostitution and moral corruption. Much people in Corinth, yes. And if God has much people in Corinth, then he does. And he did. I believe he has much people in New York City. So I say to you tonight, dear friend, turn to Jesus. He said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's message was wherever he went. He says in Acts chapter 20, he testified both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And do not be deceived in thinking you're saved unless you have truly repented of your sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And a true Christian life is characterized by a heart to be holy. Much people demonstrates to us grace. I started off the program tonight telling you of a dear man we met on our homeless outreach 7 years ago, James Abiyamusa. James came here from Ghana. James was one of the much people that God had in this city. Last week he went into the hospital. I thought he would be out of the hospital in a matter of days. I thought he just was sick. But James had been in good health. But he didn't come out of the hospital. He entered the presence of Jesus. And so we're reminded that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So make sure that you're saved. You're in Christ. If we can help you, visit us at Heritage Baptist Church. Good night.
Thank you for tuning into the Heritage of Faith. We would be so honored to have you as a guest at our church. Sunday services are at 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Again, that's 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Bible study hour begins at 10 and Sunday morning fellowship services begins at 11. For more information or if you need help with prayer or encouragement, you may call us at 212-947-5316. That's 212-947-5316. You can also write to us at Heritage Baptist Church, P.O. Box 7925, New York, New York 10116. You may also visit us on the web at www.hbcnyc.org. That's www.hbcnyc.org. Join us again next week at 8:30 p.m. for the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church. Until then, rejoice in the Lord.